Father, speak to us. You alone have the words of life. Touch our ears that we hear your voice. Touch our minds, we understand what you say. Touch our hearts that we believe what you say. And we surrender our will into thy hands that we obey what we believe. Because your word says, this world and its desires are passing away, but he who does the will of God lives forever. We want to do your will. We want to know your will. Speak to us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
First, we will look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Should be a very familiar verse. Righteousness. Read that, Pastor Vijay.
For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that part. Could we read that in Telugu? Okay. Amen. Today I think after service you're going to have bhojanam and panyam, but the kingdom of God is not that. Okay. That is this world. Right now we are in the kingdom of God. And we need to be very clear we are in the kingdom of God. And scripture in that portion tells us what is the kingdom of God. It says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not just righteousness, peace and joy. Because there is a righteousness in the world. There is happiness in the world. There is peace in that world, in this world. That is not the kingdom of God. There are markers in the kingdom of, in English we say there are markers in the kingdom of God. Signposts. That's how we know this is real. I and you have experienced it. And the first marker is righteousness. That's where it begins. Every day that's where it begins. It began one day in our life. And it continues all our life. And the first thing is righteousness. It is like entering into a courtroom where a magistrate is sitting. And deep inside there is this conviction. There is only one person who can set you free. It is a magistrate. Imagine you are in a criminal court. And you are standing before the judge. On that day you will realize only his opinion matters. What your father says doesn't matter. What your mother says doesn't matter. What your teacher says doesn't matter. What your employer says doesn't matter. What the judge says is the only thing that will matter. And if that judge says guilty, we are finished. The judge says not guilty, we are relieved. When the judge says not guilty, then he's declaring you righteous. The beginning of the kingdom of God. The entrance into the kingdom of God. It's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we stand in a criminal court, let's say a police traffic court, when you stand there, the only thing the judge wants to know is where you broke the traffic rules. That's all he wants to know. If your lawyer says you are a good son, excellent student, very loving to everybody, it makes no difference in the court. In a court, you are judged by your crime. You are not judged by your righteousness. Not by your good works. And there is a scripture. Wages of sin is death. This is the punishment according to the law. And then scripture says, all have sinned. It's true about all of us. All of us have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So everyone who enters into the courtroom of God actually enters as somebody who is guilty of death. That's what Jesus says. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin. That's the first work of the Holy Spirit. First work of the Holy Spirit, He brings conviction. And if that work isn't there, that means the Holy Spirit is not working in our lives. On the day, first day of Pentecost when Peter preached, the first work of the Holy Spirit was, scripture says, they were cut to the heart. And they all cried, what should we do? That's the first thing. Scripture says when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin and points to the righteousness that is there in Christ. Because you realize you are guilty. And there is nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. We can only trust in the work of another one. When that happens, that is the beginning of righteousness. And if that hasn't happened, we are outside the kingdom. We are walking on our righteousness, which will not stand before God. It will stand before man. Man may say great person, kind person, good works. It will not stand before God. Because God is not looking for a good person. God is looking for a perfect person. And there's only one perfect person. That is Christ. So the beginning of the kingdom in our lives, when we are closed, we have sinned. Look at Jesus as He took our punishment. My sin is put on Him. His righteousness by the Holy Spirit is imputed into me. God says, guilt free. That's what scripture says. Righteousness in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. It is something which the Spirit of God does. That is the beginning of salvation. From there is this growing in salvation. After that, every time we fall and we sin, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. Brings conviction. And if we don't respond to that conviction, we don't grow in our righteousness. We stay where we are. In the morning, I mean, this has been an incredibly crazy week. And days of meeting after meeting.
For
past 10 days non-stop, right?
10 days.
In the morning we were looking at a portion. We don't have to turn there, but I'll tell you it is from 1 John chapter 2. The Apostle John divides believers into three groups. He says, children, young men, fathers, three groups. That is not physical age. No, it is spiritual age. You could be 85, you could be 85 and be a child. Spiritual child. Like my mother is 84. She is a child. But she just got saved a little while back. So it has got nothing to do with physical age. Children, young men, fathers, or children, young ladies, mothers. Because like Jesus' ministry, most of the time, every church, it's only women. Men are missing. Children, young men, to move from righteousness of a child to the righteousness of a young man, something is mentioned there. You have overcome the evil one. Have we overcome the evil one? Have we understood his ways? Have we understood his methods? Do we overcome the evil one? But most people don't even know how to overcome the evil one. So in righteousness, they're just babes. They are not able to grow in their righteousness. The writer of Hebrews says, there is an issue of the righteousness of a child. If you have a baby, 5 months old, 4 months old, you know you can give the baby only milk. If you give anything else, it's not able to digest. So if your righteousness is that of a baby, only thing we can take is the milk of God's word. We are not able to go into the meat of God's word. We are not able to grow. That's where God is talking about. The kingdom of God is real. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. And our righteousness is a marker. Righteousness is a marker. Have we grown in our righteousness? Have we overcome the little one? Are we able to digest the meat of God's word? Are we able to go deeper into God's word? Are we able to understand it? Are we able to enjoy it? Are we able to walk in it? That is what God is talking about. Because scripture says, deep calls unto deed. You know, when we have babies, when our babies were born, our children were born. Like my church at the back is full of babies. So many babies. So you see, from the pulpit, I talk to the people. But when I go to the back, what can I tell the baby? See, one thing we know about the baby, baby cannot change. We change like the baby. We go down to the baby's level. We make sounds like the baby. We make expressions like the baby. But that's the only way we can talk to the baby. The question is this: how does God talk to you? How does God talk to you? God is deep. Scripture says, deep calls unto deep. Can God talk to us like a mature, grown up child of His? If you read one of the epistles of Paul or Peter, does it make sense to us? When we look at it, we know exactly what my father is telling me. Or it is just, doesn't make sense. What can you tell a baby? I love you. Eat well. Sleep well. God bless you. You can't say anything beyond that. But if you remain like that, you are missing your destiny. It's an incredible destiny God has reserved for His people. Eyes haven't seen. No ears heard. What God is preparing for those who love Him. Like I've shared with you earlier, we have two homes, two orphanages. Pastor has come to them. One of the orphanages is for handicapped, special needs children. Many of them are bedridden. Their brains are almost gone. Some of them are older now. If you look at them, over the years they have grown. That's all that has happened. Nothing else has changed. The food that is given is still the same. The quantity has increased. They can give nothing back. You have to speak to those kids the way you spoke when they first came to you. Physically they are growing. Mentally they cannot grow. But in the kingdom of God, that should not be true spiritually. Spiritually we should be growing. So that God is able to tell us so many things which He wants to tell us. That we are able to know who God is. In the morning we were looking at a concept. On earth, we have time. In heaven, there is no time. So we have very limited time. All of us have limited time. Throughout the Bible, God wants us to redeem the time, redeem the time. Within the time we have, we have to grow to the fullness God expects. We don't. We miss out in eternity. That's where righteousness is the first marker. Like that's why scripture very clearly says not eating and drinking. That's why did he say that? Why does the Holy Spirit say eating and drinking, not that, but righteousness, peace and joy is the kingdom of God? Because in this world, everything ultimately is connected with eating and drinking. If tomorrow a government comes and tells the people, nobody has to work. Everybody will get guaranteed 3 meals a day till you die. They will rule forever. Because that's the average man. What to eat? What to drink? What to wear? Remember Jesus said? Remember what he said? Seek not those things. Those who do not know God go after those things. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness. He comes back to righteousness. We are born again. We received his righteousness. Continue to seek his righteousness. And I will honestly tell you, if there is no hunger for the righteousness of God in you and me, then ask yourself, am I born again? When a baby is born, the nurse takes the baby, washes it, and brings it to the mother. The first thing the nurse says is start feeding the baby. That is a sign of life. Sign of life. When your children don't eat, and they lose weight, don't you run to the doctor? Doctor, my child is not eating. Why are you so worried? Because you know eating is a sign of this life. So what is the sign, the first marker that you have been born from above? You are hungry for the righteousness of God. And scripture says, blessed are those who hungry and thirst for my righteousness, they will be filled. And scripture makes it very clear, it is a righteousness that comes by faith and faith alone. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. How do you know you are born again? How do you know you've been born by the Spirit? You will attack this more than the biryani you will attack later. You are willing to fast your meals so that you can feast on God's word. That's why believers fast. Because they want to feast on God. Because they know this, if I fill it automatically, I'll feel sleepy. They know this body acts against the spirit. That's what the Bible says. The flesh and the spirit are enmity. So people, men of God will go on a 7-day, 21-day, 40-day fast so they can feast with God. So the first marker, are we hungry for the righteousness of God? Are we conscious of unrighteousness. When we sin, are we conscious of the Holy Spirit convicting us? We sin with our tongue. We sin with our ears. Are we conscious in what we say? In what we hear? Are we conscious? Why are we not conscious? Because we are not hungry for the righteousness of God. God says that is the first marker. And the Holy Spirit comes. Righteousness. I am declared guilt free. Fear is gone. I have peace with God. Peace with God. That's the second marker. Peace with God. Righteousness. Peace. Suddenly there is no fear. Even if you know you are going to die in 5 minutes time, you are not afraid. Because there is peace. On the other hand, we see when death takes place, the horror of it. But scripture says the second marker is peace. Peace with God. Peace with man. There is peace. The writer of Hebrews, is 12:14, right? 12:14, it says, pursue peace with man and holiness with God, without which no man will see God. Pursue. Make every effort. As far as with people. Pursue peace. That has to be an active decision in our life because we belong to the kingdom. How do you grow in peace? With man. Shall I tell you a secret? Talk less. Talk less. Be careful about what you say. Because scripture says in the abundance of words, there is sin. If you talk, talk about yourself. If you want to talk, don't talk about others. Because you lose peace with man. Don't hear about others. You lose peace with man. Pastor Naveen, we know each other for like quite some time now. But you know what? I don't know anything about him. Because I never ask him. And for my pastor's meeting, how many hundreds of pastors he has ministered to me, and I know them for years. I know their face. I know their name. But I don't know anything about them. Because I don't want to know. What you don't know doesn't hurt you. What you don't know, even by accident, you won't repeat. And I realize I'm able to love them all because I have peace with them. We are able to love people. We lose our peace because we have big ears. We have a long tongue. Remember on the day of Pentecost, when the kingdom of God came with power on earth, when the Holy Spirit came on power on 120 people, first thing he did was he took off their tongues. He took their tongues. Holy Spirit came as fire like tongue. So this is the primary gate. Scripture says life and death is in the power of the tongue. We talk about that as confessing blessings, confessing prosperity, confessing healing. No.
మనం మాట్లాడుతుంటున్నారా, అభివృద్ధి గురించి ఒప్పుకో, స్వస్థత గురించి ఒప్పుకో, అనేకమైన వాటిని ఒప్పుకోవచ్చు, అది కాదది.
Did you see this?
చూసారా,
this glass is full.
ఈ గ్లాస్ ఫుల్ ఉంది.
Imagine I take a pin and put two holes in the bottom. How long will it remain? You can keep filling it, it will keep going. You can confess all the promises in the Bible over 9,000 and keep talking ill about your brother, all your blessings will go. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. This tongue and this ear are connected. This tongue and this eyes are connected. The tongue will not speak something which it hasn't heard. So guard your ears. Not only the horses, we also need spiritual blinkers. That is what Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right. You know, that's how we guard our tongue. That's one thing Jesus says. On that day, you will have to give account for every idle word you have spoken. How do I pursue peace with my brother? One, if I hear, I want to hear good things about him. Second, when I talk, I want to say good things about him. All these months I've only talked good things to you, no pastor. I don't want to say anything. And if I see something bad, call them one on one. There is not even my wife will know what I tell my associate pastor. It's between him and me. Like a father to a son. Deal with it. And move on. Why? Because we want peace. That's the signpost of the kingdom of God. Peace with God. I have to walk in my repentance. Peace with man. Be careful about what you hear. Be careful about what we say. We can have peace with people. We really can pursue peace. Rama, these are markers. And there is a third marker. Third marker. That's an incredible marker. It says joy in the Holy Spirit. It's completely different. I remember the day I got saved. I was in a hostel. Somebody shared the gospel to me. I was hearing the gospel for the first time. I accepted Jesus, or rather Jesus accepted me. We all say we accepted Jesus, but I think it's the other way. Jesus accepted us. And I remember the joy. I was doing my degree first year. And I was in a hostel. And I still remember almost for 2 weeks I did not go to college. I only went to the mess to eat. For 2 weeks. This was my book. Morning till night, read it over and over and over. And there was this joy. This joy had nothing to do with the world. The joy of the God has nothing to do with this world. So nothing in the world should affect that joy. Nothing in the world should affect that joy. That joy, if it is affected, it's a marker. There is something wrong between me and God. The connection with the Holy Spirit is gone. Because the world did not give it. This was given by God. Things are all changed in David's life. Nobody is saying anything. Bathsheba's husband is dead. Bathsheba is his wife. Kingdom is prospering. Do you know what he says? I have lost the joy of my salvation. Nobody is saying anything. No man is bothered. God is bothered. And God is bothered. You are a real child of God. Your joy goes. Because you knew what it was. World can only give us happiness. They cannot give you joy. And every happiness is connected with something. If you are a wife, you cook well. If your husband says good, you are happy. If he doesn't say, no happiness. If you are a lady, you buy an expensive sari, you are happy. Because next day, when you go to office, if nobody noticed it, you are no longer happy. You will sing, what a waste of money. So you see, the world's happiness is always connected to things. God's joy is connected to a person. It's connected to a person. So though even outwardly David is prospering, inwardly he's groaning. That's what God is talking about. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. And as we grow in righteousness, as we grow in faith, God will test that joy. That's what all the apostles are writing. Churches are being persecuted. And they're telling them, be joyful in your persecution. The book of James has 108 verses. There are 54 commands from Apostle James, the brother of Jesus, in that one letter. You know what the first command is? It's found in chapter 1 and verse 2. Consider it pure joy, brethren, when you go through diverse trials. Pariksha. Maha, not ananda. Adi maha ananda. When? During the time of Shodhana? Does it come? Because that's the test of your joy. The happiness the world gives when Shodhana comes, it goes. That's how you know where you are. It is, your happiness is the joy of the Lord or not. So God will put you into more and more Shodhana to prove your joy is real or not. Otherwise we can get fooled with a false righteousness, a false peace and a false joy and end up in the wrong place. Remember the rich man? Big house? good clothes, wonderful food, prospering. He thought he was righteous. He had peace. He had joy. 1 minute he died. And he ended up in hell. Because his righteousness was false. It was never tested. His peace was false. It was never tested. His joy was false. It was never tested. So the tests we go through, God is helping us to know what we have is true. Because this righteousness I receive by faith. This peace I receive by faith. This joy I receive by faith. So he tests our faith to know whether these things are true. Our joy has to be true. So Paul will lie in a prison and write to us, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I tell you, rejoice. Paul and Silas, because of ministry, they are beaten, they are stripped naked, they are thrown into the prison, their legs are locked up. Scripture says they were singing. Because that was a joy not the world did not give them. And the world couldn't do anything to them to take the joy away. It's not that we don't have problems. Our problems do not take our joy. If you are really a child of God and you have the joy of the Lord, our problems cannot take our joy. Only sin can. Only sin can. David had no problems. But he had unconfessed sin. And he lost his joy. Therefore he cries, against you and you alone I have sinned. My sins are before thee. Cleanse me with hyssop. Create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy Holy Spirit. This is the reality of salvation. These three things: righteousness, peace, and joy. Genuine men of God in the old and the new always experience this. And they looked at these three markers as a sign in their life. As I close, it's a wonderful prophet called Habakkuk. It's a time of judgment. And this is what Habakkuk literally says, there's nothing in the fields. It's all dry. All the vines are dry. All the cattle are dead. No flocks. No crops. But what the scripture says? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. You see what he's saying? I don't speak Telugu. But I understand bits and parts of Telugu. You know, when Pastor Naveen was encouraging you to worship, he was talking about Jehoshaphat. And he said about Jehoshaphat, they are looking at a situation that is impossible. And God is telling them actually to rejoice, because praise and worship is a response or a result of our joy. Because if you praise and worship and you are so down inside, it is not true. It's a result of joy overflowing. Why? Because you see God has won the victory for you. Why are believers able to rejoice? And everything is going against them. Why are they able to sing in the darkness of a prison? Because they have a real hope. Hope of glory. This is temporary. That is permanent. When I look at that permanent, temporary means nothing. So looking at that, I rejoice today. That's what God was telling Jehoshaphat. Rejoice today. Sing today. Dance today. Jump today. Because your victory is there. You haven't seen it. But faith is the substance of things that are not seen. You don't have to see it. You see it in your spirit. Keep these three markers every day before you. When you wake up tomorrow morning, open your eyes. Don't run for coffee. Open your eyes. First words. Lord, what do you have to say? What do you have to say? Try this every day. You will really realize the Holy Spirit has a voice. 8 times in the book of Revelation. Preparing a church for the end. God says, all those who have ears, let them hear what God says. Prepared for this evening. Wrote it all down. And when I sat here, I asked him, what do I say? What do I say? And you go through this. What I said, what I prepared, are not the same. Even on the way, I told my associate pastor, this is what I am planning to say. But you have to listen to that voice. You know why? Because I don't know you. He knows everyone. I can give you what I prepare. But he has to give you what you need. That's what God says. I will send you another counselor just like me. He will be in you. He will be with you till the end. The kingdom of God is connected to a place and to a person. A person of the Holy Spirit. So it is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Keep your eyes and your ears on the Spirit. And he will lead us through this way. Just hear him and obey him. Peace with God, your peace with man. We can move on in life. And like Habakkuk, even if everything fails, we can still rejoice. And you know what the next words in Habakkuk is? When I rejoice like that, God will make my feet like the feet of the deer. And I will ascend to high places with God. ascend to a higher place with God. What is God's intention? Come up higher. What are we trying to do? Don't you see my problems? Come down here. God says no, in the midst of your problems, rejoice and come up here. That's our experience. That should be our experience. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, this evening I just thank you. Thank you for all your servants here. And all your children. And especially of the household who are celebrating their birthdays this Sunday, this week. Commit everyone into thy hands. We all need your hand upon our lives. Oh Father, without you we will go nowhere. Without you we can do nothing that will make meaning in eternity. So Spirit of God, I pray that you will be a real person for everyone here. And that we will not grieve you. We will not quench you. But we will honor you. And obey you. All the days of our life. Thank you, Father. Bless your people. Meet your people at their point of need. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.